amen. Well, again, it's great to see you here this morning. We're bringing a lengthy sermon series to a close this morning. This is part 15 of 2 Timothy, and we're wrapping it up today. Paul has warned Timothy about the troubled times that are coming, the difficulties he would face, and knowing that Paul wouldn't be there with Timothy because his life was coming to an end. So he encourages him to hold tightly to the word of God that's been committed to him. In fact, this is my one paragraph summary of 2 Timothy, basically. But knowing that he wouldn't be here, knowing that troubled times are coming, he encourages him to hold tightly to the word of God, to remain steadfast in the faith that's been handed down to him from his grandmother and mother, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to keep preaching the word of God, to remain alert to the schemes of the devil, because he says Satan will try to pervert the gospel through false teachers. He'll discourage you by persecution and physical hardship and attacks if he can. He'll try to deceive you with false doctrine. He'll distract and defeat you through the allure of compromise. So don't give up, Timothy. Instead, hold on to the faith. You'll see the culture become more wicked, and you'll see wicked and evil people where sin just seems to be the rule of the day. So in spite of that, he says, guard the gospel you've embraced. If you have to suffer for the faith, then endure hardship like a good soldier. Remain committed to the gospel because it's the truth that leads to salvation. Keep proclaiming it in good times and bad, in season and out of season, because it's the only hope for this world. It's the truth that will keep you in troubled times. And Paul's seen his share of troubles, and as he looks ahead, he sees more on the horizon in his own life and in the life of Timothy and in the culture around them. How will Timothy get through the troubled times? And how will we get through the troubled times? Well, we're going to do all the things that Paul's instructed us to do in 2 Timothy, the things I just mentioned. But look again at the final words of this letter. These are the last written words that we have from the Apostle Paul. In verse 22 of chapter 4, he writes, "The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you." If you want a word for troubled times, right there it is. The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. This is how we're going to make it, by knowing that the Lord is with us, and not only that, but His grace is with us, and His grace is sufficient to see us through any trouble or any situation we're in. Now, we know that sitting here in a sanctuary this morning, or we know it if you're watching online and you got your cup of coffee and you just finished off your big, your Little Debbie Duncan stick or whatever you got there. That'd be tasty, wouldn't it? I said that in first service, and somebody got me and said, "Now we have to go buy donuts because you mentioned coffee and donuts this morning." So God bless you. Anyway, so you got your donut and you got your coffee, and life's pretty good, and the kids are not bothering you at the moment, and the dog's behaving, and everything seems good with life, and you don't have any problems, and it all feels pretty good right now at this moment. But what about tomorrow? Or what about when you're in the middle of trouble, when it seems that the last thing you have is enough grace, or when the Lord seems so far from us? Well, Paul knew that feeling as well. So you look back at verse 16, and Paul writes, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, so I won't belabor the point, but it bears repeating that Paul was facing this trial alone. And after all the years of his service to the Lord and his church, and untold hours of labor and sacrifice and pastoring and preaching and teaching and evangelizing and planting churches, and long hours of ministry, and then making and repairing tents after hours and into the night so no one would accuse him of not paying his own way, and all the travel and the hardships and sickness and being beaten and left for dead and his life constantly in jeopardy, and when he needed someone, everyone deserted him and left him alone. It was brutal. You ever felt that way? Deserted? That the people that you, I mean, unsupported by family and friends and associates and church members and pastors, the people you would have sworn you could always count on, and none of them ever showed up. None of them were there, and you're all alone. I don't have time to tell this story, but I looked over and saw Michael and Marcia French here this morning, and I remember one of our trips to to Russia when we went. Michael was going to preach crusades, and the peacemakers, the trio, went with them, and we were coming through customs just getting into the country, and everybody made it through except Jeff Taylor. And for whatever reason, they detained him, and they're talking to him, and you know, the louder you speak in Russian, it doesn't help somebody that doesn't speak Russian. And we were already through, and he's still over there. We were quite a distance away, and he's looking at us like, I don't know. And so we were like, have a good time in the gulag or whatever. We were, right? We were heading to the car because it's like, well, there's nothing we can do. And I'm sure he was thinking, you're leaving me all alone. I got nobody. How could you desert me? You're the last people that I thought would run out on me. We finally managed to rescue him, and life went on. Anyway, it was a concerning day that day. The truth is that in spite of multiple friends and family, everyone faces things on the journey of life. Sometimes you'll have to face it by yourself. Sometimes you just have to go it alone. There'll be moments and places on the journey where no one else can go with you, where no one else can be there. It may not always be because of something wicked or bad or sinister, maybe, but it's just going to turn out that way, that all of a sudden you feel deserted and alone. It may be because no one else will hear the call of God the way you do. And the Lord lays something on your heart. Sometimes the Lord may direct you in a solitary path. I can tell you, obedience to God can be a solitary thing. That you just say, you know what, I know this is what God's calling me to do, and nobody else wants to go that way, and nobody else sees it that way, nobody else travels with you, but you know you've heard from God, and this is according to His Word, and you're going to make that decision. And so you know it's right, and according to God's Word, it's in keeping with God's will for your life, and everybody else thinks you have lost your mind. What are you thinking of doing? You know, you got the scholarship to go to med school or whatever, and yet the Lord calls you to something else, and you say, yeah, I'm leaving all that behind because I'm going to go do this. Have you lost your mind? Have you lost your mind? Well, I feel like God's calling me to be a school teacher. Have you lost your mind? You want to be a school teacher and be poor your whole life and underappreciated and undervalued? You want to be a school teacher instead of being a lawyer? You know, or if you really want to be rich, be a plumber, right? Learn a trade or whatever. What are you doing? But, well, I feel like this is what God called me to do. I feel like this is the direction He's leading me. I feel like this is His plan for my life. Or sometimes people will desert you and ostracize you because you won't go along with the crowd. You won't live like them. You won't compromise your convictions, and you'll have to stand alone, whether elementary school, middle school, high school, college. On your job, your career, there's always somebody that wants to say, if you want to be a part of this group, if you want to fit in this clique, if you want to be part of this fraternity, part of this sorority, if you want to advance on your job, if you want to fast track to success in your career, then you will have to do this. And you'll find yourself standing alone. And I'll just tell you, integrity and character and faith and obedience to God and choosing to live for Jesus, that'll find you standing alone often. At least it may feel like you're standing alone. But Paul understood this. In fact, I can guarantee you this wasn't the first time that Paul ever stood alone. Imagine when he returned from Damascus after his encounter with Jesus. He's born again now, and he comes home to his father, the rabbi, his father, the Pharisee, and he says, Dad, there's something I need to tell you. On the way there, I had an encounter, and I'm now a follower of Jesus. They would disown him. They would declare him dead. I mean, they wouldn't listen to him. Imagine him facing Gamaliel, his teacher, the rabbi. Gamaliel was the grandson of Hillel, the great rabbi, and he was Paul's teacher, and he goes to him and says, look, I'm still as Jewish as I've ever been, but I'm now a follower of Jesus as Messiah. You talk about standing alone. Paul understood about that. But he also understood this. He may have felt lonely, but there was a discovery that he wasn't alone. There's a difference. Loneliness is a feeling. Aloneness is a physical state of being. So you can ask, is that person alone? Yes. Are they lonely? I don't know. Right? I don't know if somebody's lonely or not. You can be lonely in a crowd of people, surrounded by people. You can also be alone and not be lonely. You can be living your best life, all right? I heard a preacher the other day say, the best time of life is all the bills are paid, the kids are grown, the dog's dead. You can do anything you want to do. I know. It's a horrible thing, but I'm just quoting somebody else. I know he's quoting. Well, his point simply being, you didn't have anything to take care of, all right? I knew that was a bad plan. At least it wasn't a cat. I'm sorry, all right. Write to, send your letters to Dusty Hutchison at CAG. I got to deflect that to somebody. Paul may have felt lonely and deserted, and you may feel that way too. But the truth was, and the truth is, he wasn't alone, and neither are you. Paul remembered and discovered in the aloneness and in the loneliness something that all of us need to remember. So in verse 16, he says, yeah, no one came to my support, everyone deserted me, but the Lord stood at my side and the Lord gave me strength. He wasn't alone after all. Picture Paul in that prison cell in Rome. That's where he is as he's writing this letter to Timothy. He's already said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. He knows his death is coming after this mockery of a trial. And imagine him in that dungeon, that prison cell, swallowed up by the darkness when he remembers the words of Jesus, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He wasn't alone after all. Or imagine Paul standing in that Roman courtroom, standing alone when the judge asked, do you have anyone to speak in your defense? And Paul looks around and there's no one there. There's nobody to stand or to give testimony in his behalf, no one there to defend him. But then he remembers Jesus said to go and preach the gospel and make disciples, and as you're going, I will be with you even to the end of the age. And Paul's there preaching the gospel, doing what Jesus called him to do, and he realizes, I'm not alone after all. And Jesus told his disciples, on my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. And that's Paul's very circumstance. He's there as a witness before governors and kings. And Jesus said, and don't worry about what to say, for it'll not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. The Holy Spirit was with Paul in that courtroom, and he may have been feeling a little sorry for himself as he faced this trial alone, knowing that everyone had deserted him, but then he remembered that the Holy Spirit was with him. Then he remembered that Jesus had even told his disciples in John 16, a time is coming when you'll all be scattered and you'll each go to your own home and you'll leave me, Jesus, you'll leave me all alone, yet I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. Jesus himself had felt alone. He had been deserted, but he knew his Father was with him. It was the same for Paul, and it's the same for us. The Father is with us. Jesus is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. We're not alone. You may feel lonely this morning. You may be lonely, but you are not alone. He's with us today. Paul said, I felt deserted, but Jesus stood at my side. I wasn't alone in that courtroom after all. And not only was the Lord with me, the Lord was with me and he gave me strength. And just knowing that Jesus is there beside you, walking with you, aware of all that's going on in your life and circumstances, gives you strength. Everybody's faced some situation where you stood in the wings somewhere and just thought, oh God, help me. Take away that sick feeling in the pit of my stomach and help me know that I'm able to do this, whatever it was, giving a presentation or jumping off a high dive or whatever you're facing that you just think, I can't do that, and yet I know the Lord's with me. I'm going to make it through this. And we're going to do it. I can do it. Listen, he's beside you. He gives you strength. You may be facing a mountain. You may be facing an enemy. You may be facing a giant, but you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And you and Jesus together outnumber the enemy that's coming against you. You say, but I can't do this alone. You don't have to. You won't have to because you're not alone. Jesus is with you and he gives you strength. He gives you his strength. Strength so that you can do all things through Christ. Listen to me this morning. Jesus doesn't intend for you to fail or to fall. He's got a plan. He's there beside you. He's equipped and empowered and enabled and strengthened you by his grace. by his grace. And remember Paul's final words to Timothy again, grace be with you. God's grace, unmerited favor, God's blessing, God's strength, God's presence, God's provision is with you so you can accomplish everything that God intends for you to accomplish. God's grace is with us. God's grace is upon you, and his grace is more than sufficient for every trial, for every circumstance you'll face. You are not alone. Some of you graduating from high school, I don't know about leaving. I don't know about going off. How can I do this? Can I make it? Can I, I went to this high school. Can I pass all those college classes? You're not alone. You're not going alone wherever you're going. He's going with you. You need to stick with him, but you're not alone. Walk with him, right? And walk in obedience. Wednesday night, we're going to celebrate these high school grads, and congratulations to you. We've got college graduates as well, and God bless you for all your effort and all you've done, but just know that Jesus is walking with you on this journey. He's with you. Paul said God was with him and strengthened him. And here's the reason. He says, in order that through me the message of Jesus and of salvation through faith in his name, that message might be fully proclaimed and that all the Gentiles might hear it. And think of it. Paul stands before the court in Rome, and rather than calling witnesses to defend himself, he becomes a witness for Jesus. I love that. The judge saying, do you have any witnesses? Well, I'd like to be my own witness, but I'd just like to be a witness of Jesus. Let me tell you, can you imagine him saying, if you'll just bear with me for just a minute, because I'll try to explain. I was born Saul of Tarsus. I was a Pharisee of my people, the Jews, and I was a persecutor of those that that you call Christians. But one day on the way to Syrian Damascus, I had an encounter that changed everything. I met Jesus, the crucified, risen, resurrected Savior and Lord, and he changed everything about my life. And Your Honor, if you'll just open your heart to him, he'll change you too. Can you imagine him bearing witness like that? And Jesus has a way of taking our weakness and turning it into strength. He takes our trials and turns them into opportunity for us to spread the gospel and proclaim Jesus as Savior and Lord. He'll take what was designed for your defeat and he'll turn it into victory. He'll turn it to a means of fulfilling the purpose and the plan of God for you and for your life. Paul said, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. We don't know exactly to what Paul was referring. Was it the lion, Satan? You know, Peter says that Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Or was he referring to Nero? Or was he referring to the prosecutor of his case? We can't say for certain who the lion's mouth was, but I think what we know is that Paul was confident of the Lord's provision and protection, and that the Lord's presence would be with him regardless of what the lion was going to do. It may just be that Paul was saying, I thought they were going to execute me on the spot, but instead he delivered me out of the lion's mouth, and I've got more time, and that's why I'm able to write you this letter, Timothy. I've got something else that needs to be said, because the folks in Carbondale Assembly of God in May of 2021 are going to need to hear this word of encouragement, and God gave me more time. He delivered me out of the lion's mouth. And then Paul says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we shout, amen, the Lord's going to rescue us from every evil attack. But then we stop to think about the circumstances. God will rescue us. Wait a minute. Didn't Paul die? I mean, he was in prison, right? And he didn't get out of this one, right? I mean, nothing else happened and they took him out and cut his head off. Isn't that what happened? Yeah. Well, it seems to me like if the Lord was rescuing him, he was a little late on the showing up part, wouldn't he? Missed it by that much. Those of you who get that reference are really old. But anyway, so what kind of a rescue is that? I mean, think about it. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. It's written by the same guy who wrote this. I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and left for dead outside the city, I might add. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on, and when he says in the open sea, he means in the open sea. The ship was gone and he was bobbing up and down. a night and a day. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, the Jews. I've been in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. I've labored and toiled and gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. How is that being rescued, right? When he says the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, doesn't look like it. But ask yourself this question: what was the point or the purpose of Satan's evil attack? To hinder the spread of the gospel, yes. But I mean, regarding Paul himself, what was Satan's point in attacking Paul? To irritate him? He just wanted to annoy him? I mean, I think the Oklahoma Department of Transportation does that for me. No, no offense to those of you who work for ODOT. God bless you. I've actually begun to think there's a plot. I told Paul yesterday, I'm starting to think people have like walkie-talkies in their car. There's a guy somewhere going, he's pulling out on Lewis. I need two cars doing 35 miles an hour to get in both lanes of the southbound lane. Lewis, there we go. And they pull in there and they're just driving along for the love of all that's good. Somebody get over and let me get past. Right? But is that the devil's business to bother my driving? No, probably not. Is he just doing it to irritate Paul? Is he doing it to inconvenience him? Is it doing it to make him uncomfortable? No, that's a waste of Satan's time and effort. I don't think the devil cared if Paul was inconvenienced. He wanted Paul to quit. He wanted Paul to give up, to throw in the towel, to surrender. He wanted Paul to abandon his faith like Demas did, to deny God and denounce the gospel and pack up his scrolls and his parchment and tell everybody, Jesus let me down. I was counting on him and I was counting on the church and nobody showed up for me. This is too hard. I'm done. Adios. I'm out of here and I'm going home. But Paul said the Lord rescued him. And plenty of times he had literally rescued him, spared his life, helped him escape from plots and the clutches of evil men. But this time, Paul says, I'm being rescued again. But Timothy, this time the chains didn't break off. And no earthquake opened the prison doors like before. And I'm pretty sure, Tim, that the time for my departure has come. But hear me once again, I've been rescued, because here's the point of the whole thing. The devil didn't win. I've fought the good fight, and I've still got some fight left in me. And I've run the race with determination, and the finish line is right there. And the devil hasn't stopped me, and he can't, and he won't. I started well, but I'm finishing even better, because I just preached my last sermon at the very gates of hell, inside a Roman courtroom, in the emperor's court. I've kept the faith. I'm still serving Jesus, my Lord and Savior, for whom I've given up everything and counted as nothing, counted as rubbish, as garbage, for the sake and privilege of knowing him and being his servant. I haven't compromised. I haven't sold out. I haven't given in. I haven't given up. I haven't quit. I haven't quieted down. I haven't resigned. Haven't even retired. Haven't let myself be bought by the world. I haven't been blinded by lust and pride of this life. Paul says, Tim, once I was blind, but from the day when Ananias came into that room where everything was darkness and prayed for me and the scales fell off my eyes and Jesus restored my sight, all I've been able to see is Jesus. Yes, sir, Timothy, I've been rescued and he's still rescuing me, so I'm not going to fall victim to any of the tricks or the devil's evil attacks. By his grace, God has brought me safe thus far. By his grace, he'll lead me all the way home. The Lord is with me and he's giving me strength, and he's with you, Timothy, and he'll strengthen you too. You see, his grace is more than sufficient for me. His grace is with me, and Timothy, his grace is with you, and his grace will be with everyone that ever reads this letter. He's with me. He's rescuing me. He's going to bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. And my reality is that one of these days, these cell doors are going to open and the emperor's guards are going to come in and take me in chains and lead me up out of this dungeon to a place of execution. And they'll push my tired old body, scarred, battle scarred body onto the ground, and they'll put my neck on the executioner's block. And Timothy, that's going to be my final and complete rescue. And with my faith still intact and shouting the victory. The blade will fall and I'll cross the finish line with my faith intact, and Jesus will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom just as he promised, being delivered from every evil attack, and then I'll be with him and I'll give him glory forever and forever. Amen. 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 That's what Paul says. And so this morning you may be standing all alone right now, but don't forget, in your circumstances, Jesus is with you in every circumstance, in every trial. And you may feel lonely this morning, but I'm going to tell you, you are not alone. He's with you. And he's going to strengthen you so you can do all things through Christ. And he has a plan and he has a purpose that's going to be completed in and through your life if you'll continue to trust him and obey him and his will and his word, even in troubled times, especially in troubled times. He's going to be with you. And notice what he said, the Lord will rescue me and he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. The Lord will, not the Lord might or the Lord could or I'm hoping so. The Lord will. It was settled as far as Paul was concerned. Troubled times, yeah, but there's no reason to worry, no reason to be afraid. The Lord will rescue me, and when the time is right, the Lord will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Jude wrote this great benediction, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. The one who is able, he's going to keep you from falling. I said it a minute ago, he's not intending for you to fail or to fall. The one who's able to keep you from falling and present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. He is able to do it, and he will. To him be glory forever and forever. He will carry us through. He will give you the strength to be able to endure and to overcome and to continue to fulfill God's plan for your life. You are going to make it. He's going to deliver us. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, we're going to navigate these troubled times. We're going to rest in Paul's final words, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord is with you this morning. His grace is with you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Turn to the person on one side of you and just say, the Lord be with your spirit. Would you do it? Just tell somebody, the Lord be with your spirit. And then look at somebody else and say, grace be with you. Grace be with you. The Lord's grace be with you. The Lord's Spirit is with you. His grace is with you this morning. That's how we're going to make it, friends. That's how we've made it through 2020. That's how we're going to make it through 2021. Whatever comes next, I don't know, frogs, locusts, I don't know what's coming. But all I know is the Lord's with us. He's been with us all through the journey, and his grace is with us, and we're going to make it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to make it this morning. Do you need strength? Do you need the assurance of his presence? Ask him. Ask him and then trust him, because it's going to be all right. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your spirit that's with us today. I thank you for that confident assurance that we have, Lord, that regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going on in our world, what's going on in our city, what's going on in our life, Lord, what I know is you're with me and your grace is with me this morning. The Lord is with me to encourage me, to strengthen me, to lift me up, to build up my faith. You're with me and your grace is with me, and your grace is sufficient. Your spirit and your grace is with me. When I'm weak, then you become strong. When I'm a little doubtful, Lord, I still know that I have faith in you, and your faith is going to see me through. Your grace is going to carry me when I don't know the next step. Lord, I can trust you today. If you're here this morning and you're going through something, you just say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Right now, this moment, would you just hand it to him? Just say, Lord, here it is. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but here it is. Here's what I'm frightened about. Here's what's keeping me up at night. Here's what I'm grieved about. Here's what I'm afraid of. Here's what I'm worried about. Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. And Lord, I felt like I was all alone fighting this. And I thought my husband or my wife, or I thought my boyfriend or girlfriend, I thought my parents, I thought my kids, I thought somebody was going to be there with me. But I find myself alone. I don't even know who to talk to, but Jesus, I'm bringing it to you today. And I need you to help me. And I need you to give me hope again. and hear Paul tell you, oh no, the Lord is with you in your spirit, and his grace is with you. And just like the Lord was with Paul and he strengthened him so he could finish his task, the Lord is giving you strength today. You're going to finish the task. Young lady, the Lord is with you and you're going to finish your task. Young wife and mother, the Lord's with you. You're going to finish your task. You're going to be able to do this. Somebody, God's calling you to, you're making a decision about something that people in your family or your friend group, they're not, they think you just lost your mind on this, but you know God's calling you to something. God's calling you maybe to a different school. God's calling you to a different avenue, a different career. He's calling you to make a change, to go a different direction. You just don't know how everybody's going to respond to it, but you know that's what God's saying. Others have confirmed it. You're having to stand alone, but trust me, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. He's with you. You're going to take that next step of obedience. Oh, it calls for faith, and I don't know if I've got enough. Well, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and tell it to be removed. Just go ahead and take the step. Just go ahead. Step out in faith. I believe God's with you. His grace is with you. His spirit is with you. You can trust him, and you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged today. If we can pray with you, we want to do that. If you just need somebody to pray, there's cards out there at the information desk. You can write a prayer request on there. You can contact us through email, cagtulsa.com/mail, and you can get it to us. Something like that. You'll find a way to contact us. Call the church. Talk to one of the pastors. We want to pray with you. We want to help you. We want to encourage you, because I'm telling you, you're not alone. It may feel like everybody's deserted you. You're not alone. He's with you today. Bless your name. The faithfulness of the Lord is not to be denied or discounted, for he has promised to be with you, to walk with you, and to never leave you, nor to forsake you. So be encouraged today, for the Spirit of the Lord whispers to your heart, you're not alone. Jesus walks with you. Even in the darkness, even in the midnight hour, he'll show you the next step to take. Trust him, lean upon him, rely upon him, obey his word, and watch as the Lord opens doors that you did not expect. Watch as he makes a way where before there seemed to be no way, for he is faithful. Don't doubt the faithfulness of your God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that speak words of encouragement to us. I trust you today, Lord, that we can rest in you and that you're with us and your grace is with us today. Amen. Amen. If you're here, if you're watching online and you're like, now what just happened? I heard something. I couldn't tell what was going on. You're unfamiliar with charismatic or Pentecostal worship. So in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 talks about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. It includes what you heard, a message in tongues, a heavenly language, and the interpretation of a tongue. It's just a word of encouragement from the Holy Spirit. Paul said that those prophetic kind of words would comfort, exhort, and edify, and that's what you've heard this morning. There's a little book at the information desk called The Personal Work of the Holy Spirit that I wrote 20 years ago or something anyway, and if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, we'd be happy to give you a copy of the book. Just ask them back there. Tell them Pastor said you'd give me a copy, and we will. Or you can email us, and we'll send one to you. We want you to have answers to your questions if you have them. Amen. I feel better. Jesus is with me, and his grace is with me. Boy, I'm a big believer in grace, believing I'm going to go to heaven by it. Amen? Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord, then. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And amen. Thank you for watching today. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Go in the good grace of the Lord. Have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget to pick up your kids.